And by the way, our church workers are all, we do background checks, and no one has eaten a child lately, so. As I was reading in the Bible, I ran across a passage I've been reading in the book of Isaiah the last few mornings. I ran across a passage that I thought was really beautiful. And it's Isaiah 41, verses 9 and 10, particularly verse 10. Let me read that to you. Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How beautiful. God wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for you everything that you need. Many times we talk about our relationship with God, but what is God's relationship with you? There is one, you know. I was reading Isaiah and I came across this beautiful statement that God made toward his people in verse 10 of chapter 41. We think of the Jews as God's people, but the born-again believer is also God's people. And he's one of God's people, and I just wanted us to think about what God wants for each one of us. Do you realize that you are very special to God? In this passage, God labels you as a chief man of the world. To him you are. That is a great place to start in your relationship with God. Because of your relationship with Jesus, you are different from the rest of the people in the world. Do you realize how great an honor it is to be called by God to be his servant? God has seen something special in you, and he wants you to become his child, so he saved you. That made you a part of God's family. We just sang the song, The Family of God. You are no longer out in the world just drifting. God wants you to be one of his servants. And that is what God said in Isaiah. And that was not all. God chose you. He says in that, in spite of everything that we have done, God has chosen each one of us, and he is not going to cast us away. Look at verse 10 in Isaiah chapter 41. The first thing that God says to us is the same thing that Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection. Fear thou not. Fear thou not. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no reason to fear. Can you imagine God telling you not to be afraid because you belong to him? He tells us not to be dismayed, because he's going to take care of us, because God is with us and close to us. No matter what is going on in your life, God is near and aware of your situation, no matter what it is. God is telling us right here in this, his word, that not only is he with us, but that he will strengthen us. Now that means that as time goes by, God will build you up. God will build you up to be more than you are right now. Tomorrow you will be more like Jesus. As each day goes by, God is going to make you more like Jesus. And if you don't fight him on what he wants to accomplish in your life, you will be like Jesus. At least you will have the spirit of Jesus in your life. I find it amazing that how many people fight to retain their own way of doing things. God wants us to do what he has put in this book. And yet, so many born-again people, Christians, fight God on what he has told us to do here. And I just find it amazing. Especially when some of these folks think they're smarter than God. There was a time when I thought that, but I've learned that's not true. God has at least one purpose for you, each one of you. And he has a purpose for me. And that purpose will make you better than you are right now. God promises us that he will help us when we need help. God promises us that he will help us when we need help. For the 62 years or so that I have known God, every time that I needed real help, God put somebody in my life to be that help. When I couldn't do it myself, and I don't want to do it myself, I want God to do it for me. God would put somebody in my life, somebody I did not expect, to be that help. Paul directed us to seek help in one particular way. In Hebrews 4:16, Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4:16, Paul says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Understand, you can go to Jesus Christ, you can go to God anytime you need help. And you can go boldly because you are his child. And that's what Paul tells us here. We can go boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, when we all have times of need, God wants us to come to him for solutions, not look around the world for him. He wants us to come to him for solutions. Most of the needs that you and I have are spiritual in nature. We might think they're physical, but they are spiritual in nature. We all need forgiveness from time to time. We have other needs. We need a Savior to start our Christian walk. God provided it. Jesus is that Savior. Jesus was given to us for that purpose. God gives us also the faith to believe. That faith doesn't come from us. It comes from God. God's grace is predominant in our lives, if we will let it be. We have access to God 24/7. And he doesn't take vacations. God has given us a fantastic privilege that is without comparison to any other activity in the world. Hebrews 4:16, we just read it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's grace is there for you. God's grace is there to help you. Whenever you have a need, whether it be spiritual or physical or whatever that need might be, God's grace is there for you. Paul tells us that right here in Hebrews 4:16. Now, the throne of grace is where God is. It's his dwelling place and the place where we are to direct our prayers. Do you have a need? God is ready. Whether it is spiritual, material, or medical, God is able to meet that need. There is no one else in the world that can meet all of your needs other than God. He can meet your needs, whatever they are. Think of all the things that God has done for you already in your life to get you to where you are right now. He blessed you in your mother's womb by giving you a spark of life called a soul. He is willing to take care of you. He is willing to provide for you. It was God that nurtured you and caused you to grow, to reach adulthood. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 tells us, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." We didn't just happen, folks. God created us. So according to Isaiah, you have been chosen by God. What did he choose you for? Jesus gave us the answer to that question. John 15:16. John 15:16. Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you." Every born-again believer should be producing fruit in the form of people coming to the Lord for salvation. We have that opportunity coming up the end of this month, going into the early part of November, as we go out to the fair and pass out gospel tracts. This is what Jesus told his disciples, that he had chosen them, they had not chosen him. We've been chosen to produce fruit. If all Christians were producing fruit, the church would be growing. Actually, in this country, it is in decline. There are places where it's growing, but here, the church that we know is in decline. What might be the reason for such decline? Many churches do not teach people how to be soul winners. People tend to think that they are not strong enough to confront lost people about Jesus as Savior, or they think that they don't have enough education or experience to be a witness. Do you remember what God said about who he wanted to use? 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God loves you just like you are, because God made you like you are. All these years, God has been making you and molding you. God has orchestrated your life, bringing you to a point where you are right now. Keep in mind that God loves you, and he wants to use you to bring glory to himself. Think about what God has done for you. He has provided for you. As we think about providing for us, we need to realize that he provided more than just something to eat when we were hungry, but that he gave us people around us that loved us. And some of you have married that person, and they are now your partner, your mate. God prepared us to do a job of some kind. He prepared you to do a job of some kind. And that was given to you as a life's work. Now, God just wants to use you to be his servant. Will you serve God in the way that he wants you to? What a privilege to have the opportunity to serve God and to do the things that he wants done. God pours out blessings upon blessing to those who serve him according to his will. Now, I know that we all know that God does not change. We have the verse in Hebrews 13, verse 8. We read Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God. So we know that God does not change. There are some verses in the book of Deuteronomy that I would like us to look at. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. In the Old Testament, near the front of the Bible, Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 2. Beginning at verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. We reread that. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy castle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall they be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. God wants to bless you. He does. He's writing this to the Jews, But since you have been saved, you have been adopted, the same as Abraham, into Abraham's family. So this is a statement from God. We could call it a promise if we listen to the voice of God as it is relayed to us through the Holy Spirit and through the Bible. Look at the areas of our life that God wants to bless. He wants to bless us if we live in the city. He wants to bless us if we live in the country. He wants to bless us with children. And he wants to bless those children. He wants us to have his blessing wherever we go. God wants to bless you in your outside activities, and he wants to bless you in your home. That's what he says here. God has not changed. He still wants to bless you. He wants to bless his people, and each of you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior are one of them. There are some other verses in Ephesians that we should look at for remembrance purposes. Ephesians 1, 3 through 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before he ever created the world, God planned on you and blessing you and making you one of his children. He has called you for that. Having predestinated, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's will that you become one of his children. To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God is doing everything he can for you. Now, this passage starts with a spiritual blessing. If you are saved this morning, you have already experienced the highest spiritual blessing that you can experience. God saved you. You are guaranteed a place in heaven when your life on this planet is over. Moreover, you will be with your loved ones who come to know Jesus as their Savior. And one additional blessing, that God chose you before he even made the world or the universe. He chose you from eternity to be his child. By your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God knew you would be willing to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God willed that blessing for you long before you were ever born. He knew that you would put your trust in Jesus and he predestinated you to be saved. It was by his grace that he accepted you to be one of his children. What a blessing. The wonderful part of this is that it didn't stop when you got saved. It just started. God has been pouring out blessings all through your life. Were you able to have a bicycle when you were young, growing up? Did you have a clean bed to sleep in at night? Did you have a roof over your head? Many people around the world don't have those kind of things. But God made sure you had them if you did have them. There's more. God also gave you a mind that was able to think and reason. That is a blessing. There are many people that cannot do that. God is blessing you with the ability to think and to spend time in His Word, learning what God wants from you. His Word's going to tell you. God has given you a home and family. That can be considered a blessing. God has put friends in your life to be an encouragement to you so you will not be lonely. That's a blessing. For most of us, we don't have to walk everywhere we go because God has provided a car or a truck for transportation. If you don't think that's a blessing, just watch for people walking along the road while you are out driving. I see them every day I'm out on the road. And the biggest blessing of all is the fact that God has forgiven you for your sin. All of it. There are people who have nowhere to turn when they encounter a problem. They don't have a Savior that they can call out to. You have Jesus. He's all you need. Just being able to talk with God whenever you want to is also a blessing that the world doesn't have. There's a relationship with God that others don't have. Let's look at some scriptures to remind us about that particular gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, God has given you the gift of eternal life, but there's more than that. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God not only saved you, but it was Him who gave you the faith to be saved. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ, but faith comes from God. God has given all of us many gifts, but there is one that we are supposed to share with the world. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's grace has provided Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are to share Him with others. Father, we are so grateful for all that You have done for us. And we would ask, Father, that You would prepare our hearts to serve You at the fair, that You would prepare our hearts to serve You during this coming week, that we will be witnesses of what You can do for a person's soul. Help us, Father, to tell others about Jesus. Help us to show Him in our own lives. And we will praise You, Father, for all the things You're going to do in this coming week, because we praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.